This is Christoph Kisun, and you're listening to Navigating Diversity, where we explore how human beings differ, yet can find ways to relate to one another in an increasingly xenophobic socio-political climate. In this special series, Navigating the Big Questions, we shift the entire focus of the conversation away from the reactionary politics and incendiary news of these extraordinary times. Thank you to Dr. Kurt Anderson for joining us in our last episode to help us navigate some of the deeper questions, the big, sometimes heavy questions that give all of this and all of our lives meaning. You can catch our conversation at kisu.org/programs/navigatingdiversity. This week, we are continuing our moral, philosophical, spiritual, whatever you want to call it, conversation, and choosing to focus on the light as the only way to anchor some hope and faith in the future and make some of the darkness disappear. I am extremely honored and excited today to be joined by none other than Paula Jordan, the Idaho Democratic nominee running in the United States Senate election on November 3rd, 2020. Paulette, a proud member of the Coeur d'Alene tribe, grew up on a farm in northern Idaho where she developed a strong connection to Idaho's land and the people who share it. Paulette served on the Coeur d'Alene Tribal Council as well as in the Idaho House of Representatives. She ran as a Democratic nominee for governor of Idaho in the 2018 election, becoming the first woman nominated to the position by a major party in Idaho, and the first Native American woman nominated for governor in U.S. history. Hi, Paulette.
Hi, Christoph.
How are you doing?
I'm good, and I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much. You know, the first time I ever saw you was in 2018.
Yes.
At Boise Pride.
And Pride is amazing.
Such a magical time. It was my first Pride, and then you were there, and I saw you walking in the street. Like, oh my God. I just totally, like, freaked out. But,
Yes.
You know, I really admire you and the work you're doing, and my intention for this episode is just to tell your story.
Oh, well, that's beautiful.
Right?
And I love that you focused on those who serve the light. I've always talked about this, and I really, you know, it's interesting because politics isn't often associated with, you know, energy or healing ability or spirituality, but I feel that that is the one way for us to operate. You know, we bring our presence into a space and we just make it that. So I want to bring those who serve the light into this space and make it our own.
Ooh.
Get people involved.
I love that because we tend to think of politics as this very negative, competitive, zero-sum game. And,
yes.
You know, my father always told me power corrupts absolutely, you know.
Yes.
He always told me you can study political science all you want, but you can't run because I don't want it to, like, you know, tarnish you. And I was like, what do you mean? Why can't I do both? I can be a loving, good person full of light and faith and do the job.
Yes. Yes, you can. And I, you know, there's so many ways to do that. And Pride, you know, we were just speaking of Pride in Boise and, you know, it is a beautiful place and with all these beautiful people and all the great elements. And I would love to do more of that, you know, and I think that's why people have to understand that when you stand up and you speak on behalf of the people or yourself, you are making a tremendous difference in all of that good, whether you see that as politicking or not. It's you standing up for yourself and not anyone letting anyone take that sacred right from you. But you gotta defend it at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about your childhood and what was it like and how do you think it shaped you into being this warrior goddess?
Well, you know, thank you by the way for that. I would say I grew up to be, you know, I was really very humble. I grew up in the countryside. I have such beautiful memories where I would be chasing deer in the field and, you know, in the tall grass because I grew up on my family farmlands. And, you know, oftentimes we were just some knucklehead kids, you know, climbing the trees. And I was such a tomboy growing up. I had a lot of cousins who were boys and I loved being around all of my aunties and uncles. But, you know, we were country people. So we liked to ride our horses. You know, we would go out and into the forest and, you know, gather our wood for the winter. My dad is, you know, when he was younger, he was a logger. And so we were, you know, we're out in the country with our forest land and, you know, and all of our people, we were big on cultivating our land as farmers. So we all worked well, you know, as a community. Everyone was, it's really a give and take. And, you know, there's no option of sitting out. You know, everyone has to play a role.
Right.
So even our young people, children, you know, we are positioned to help as well. So, you know, there's no easy ride for anybody. But I like that because I like that we're taught to, you know, the value of working hard. Mm. And I love that we're taught the value of taking accountability and being responsible. So we all have responsibilities growing up. My parents were really great for, you know, being good mentors and a guide, you know, especially my great grandparents. They were very devout, you know, religious people, very spiritual people. And every day, you know, they took care of us, especially me. My mother would say, you know, every day to spend time with my elders and my grandparents. And so I was really blessed. You know, I was just raised in the most beautiful way, I feel. And I can argue that with anybody, but I feel that when you are surrounded with very loving people with such great wisdom, you know, and they instill their lessons and their values in you, whether it's through stories or just simple interaction, you know, they taught me so much in terms of respect and understanding, even as a kid when I knew nothing, and they were so patient with me, you know, and so it's just that love, that element of love that is just that's what cloaked me throughout my childhood. And I felt like that really connected me to everything else and everyone else. So I had no fears. You know, I was not intimidated by anything. And because my mother is so strong and my grandmothers were so powerful, they were formidable people. They just taught me the value of being a strong woman and speaking your voice and not holding back, but always doing so by holding your truth in the light. And when you hold your truth in the light, nothing can go wrong.
Right. You can never misstep. You can never fall out of alignment.
No. Nope.
You are there.
Always there, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, and speaking of being in alignment, that's you know, that's so critical for today, you know, and what's happening in today's world from the financial crisis we face and COVID and the healthcare crisis. You know, there's so many crises that we're facing. But as people are, you know, getting sick, and we've even had so many deaths, even in our own state. I mean, we've had 4 deaths within the last day here. And, you know, it's heartbreaking first, because these are people that we know. These are our neighbors and friends, our relatives.
Right.
But as people are going through this challenging time in this pandemic, you know, maintaining this connectivity and putting yourself in alignment is really what's going to get us through. So we have to find the best way to do that. And the best way to do that is to empower yourself, you know, and be the lion within, you know, find out what is your true purpose and,
yes,
you know, acknowledge the purpose and then live out the purpose.
Wow. You know? So how have you come to that place?
Because I was surrounded by so many good healers. My grandmother was a medicine woman. But when we're surrounded by so many good healers, these are folks who, you know, they're just simple, but they walk with a good sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
And very grounded, you know, and of course, the understanding that we're all connected.
Right.
And so I, you know, whether they were doctors or lawyers or whatever, they never talked above or, you know, below anyone. They just, you know, they looked at you as a true equal.
We're in this together.
Yeah, a good human being. So I was raised with that, and I knew, you know, having that sense of being that we're all connected, that, you know, we do have to honor each other, respect one another, and you have to teach people by example. You know, not everyone's going to see that or experience that in the world, and you just have to show them what it looks like, even if they're not willing to express the same. Because we see that in the rallies. We have a protest happening all across this country, and there are people hurting, and as they're suffering from, you know, whether it's dealing with the healthcare issue or dealing with racism or they're dealing with, you know, even ageism, there's always something, you know, and we have so many people willing to side with the ills of our society or judging, you know, just coming down to simple acts of even not even being able to forgive. But that is one of the toughest practices that I've been taught in my way of life, my culture, because our ceremonies, our ancestors will tell us that, you know, with all that we've been through as Indigenous peoples, we are the ones who have to learn how to forgive the most and the best.
Right, and the most and the best. Because nobody has felt it as much as...
Right.
Right?
So that, you know, there is such a thing as intergenerational trauma.
Oh, yeah.
And so we have to learn at a very young age to be healers. But to be a healer, you have to heal yourself first. Mm. And the only way to heal yourself first is to forgive. And if you cannot learn the simple act of forgiving, then you cannot heal yourself and you cannot heal others.
Hmm.
So it is a chain effect. So you have to understand that relationship and why that's so important.
Absolutely. Oprah once said that forgiveness is letting go of the hope that the past could have been any different.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, it is what it is. And, you know, I've come through some really challenging parts of my past with my grandparents who were great chiefs, and they fought for freedom and they fought for independence and they fought to protect their sovereignty and their rights to be on this land and their rights to even exist, you know, on this plane. And yet,
what a legacy.
Yes.
Wow.
And they fought so hard and made such significant sacrifices so that I would exist and my children would exist. But why they made those sacrifices and they fought so hard, I'm mindful of all of that. And I know some of the challenges that they had to go through with the military, the government, the U.S. government today. And while I know that they've gone through those challenges, they tell me that it's not for me to hang on to. And that it is up to me to forgive, and that I must forgive if our generations to follow are going to move forward and be successful.
Absolutely. We have to break the curse.
We have to break it. But it's also, it's brought to us as a reminder that it is not our burden to keep.
Mm.
We have to let go of these burdens that we think that we're upholding for those in our ancestral line.
Right.
And even if we feel the burden for other people, you know, it's not your responsibility and it's not yours to keep. So when other folks say, you know, I'm mad about this, or, you know, we looked at all these different movements that are happening across the country. And for me, I see that, you know what, we have a lot of issues, sure. And everyone can take up a burden and carry that, but that is not theirs to keep. And really, it's up to them to decide, you know, how they're going to move forward. But the best way is to be able to forgive, to heal yourself, and therefore you can be part of this productive community that is able to build a better society, a better way of life for everybody, and especially for the children that are coming up, because those children, you know, they're really relying on us in the current generation to build a better pathway for them, because when they come through, we want them to focus on being ambassadors of peace.
Yes. Yes, we need to get out of the zero-sum game mindset.
Yes.
Like
so that.
Tell me, Paulette, a little bit about how you would define or describe your version of spirituality. What does it look like for you?
Well, you know, we were talking about this before, and I said, you know, Indigenous peoples were very spiritually connected. We don't have a whole lot of religions that really align, but other than we just don't believe that any religion is better than the other. Mm-hmm. We're open to everything. I was raised in a Catholic education system, in a Catholic community, but we are still connected to our spiritual ceremonies. We still are mindful of the fact that everything and everyone has a spirit and a purpose and any energy.
That has nothing to do with yours. That
right.
is theirs, and that is their truth and their life.
Yes.
And we're interconnected, but...
Yeah, we're all connected, and it's through this energy. You know, we're all basically just an energy, and we're not based on color or age or gender. It's really, if we can start getting to the base fact that we are all energy, and we can if we can connect that way. That is the beauty of humanity in our life that we have here. That's a blessing. And I see that in Buddhism. I see that in other religions too. And I think that with other religions that I've learned of, whether it was in high school or in college, and even now with my daily living, I get to experience all kinds of great people. And my understanding is that as long as they have the base factor of love for all of humanity and their fellow man, I think that's, to me, the best way to move forward.
Right, right. The only thing you really have to believe in is love.
Yes.
Yes. So we talked a little bit about mindfulness as well. Mm. And that's kind of a big core of Buddhism and also of Native American spirituality.
Yes.
And how do you find time to be mindful given everything going on in the world and how difficult and overwhelming everything is right now?
It's challenging for people. I mean, we can get off out of alignment, as we say, but it's not only hard to stay focused, but because there are a lot of distractions. You know, people have distractions with COVID and they have distractions with a financial crisis. And while all this is happening, and it's fair to say that, you know, it's human nature to have fears about everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I want people to focus on building a pathway for themselves, a connection to their own spirit, to be in alignment and to surround themselves with people and elements that are going to help them stay focused and attribute to them being in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
I think at this time, there's a reason for everything. You know, there's a purpose for everything that's happening. But this is a good time and space for people to figure out what their purpose is. And all of that is, you know, being still with yourself and connecting to your inner spirit. And that is God. You are God. Mm. So you have to find your own inner spirit and be able to open yourself up. And that is the whole spiritual awakening process. And it takes time for some people.
Right.
And everybody comes to terms at different stages in their life. Children, you know, sometimes there are kids who come into their own alignment at an early age. You know, we even have ceremonies for that. But I would say that it was, even if you're an adult and maybe you're in your 60s and you're just coming into your own spiritual connection and you're building yourself into alignment and as you're into this awakening process, I would say that at any point in your life, you know, that is the blessing regardless, because it doesn't matter how old you are when you connect. It's the fact that you're connecting. Mm-hmm. And then you can really truly find your way. Because no one, again, is here to judge. None of us are, none of us have the right to judge.
Right.
So we have to help each other, help each other find their spirit and build alignment. And I think that's really what gets us through this, this dark time. But, I think with all those folks who understand, whatever religion they're part of or they identify with, we respect those religions. My grandfather, uncles, aunts, mother, they would say, every way of life is good. Every religion, as long as they're based off of connectivity, seeing each other as relatives, being loving, caring, and I think there's all that in every element of every religion. Every religion has that source. And we just have to stick to that. And then what I see when we go off path is if it's used against someone to harm somebody, that's not what religion or that connection to God is meant for. And because God is in all of us, that is the part that we must honor. We must take care of that holy part of ourselves. So you got to respect yourself, and understand that you are capable of being not only of God, but God itself. And you are here for a specific reason, and you have to find what that reason is and then activate that role and activate your purpose so that you can do all the good things that you can do and be part and choose to be part of the love army or be part of the light, because there is always going to be darkness, mm-hmm. and there's going to always be light. And I'm hoping that we build more people into the light army.
Yeah. Choose what you want to focus on. You get in life what you focus on.
Yes.
And the more you look at the darkness, the more darkness you will bring, and the more darkness you will see in other people and everything else.
Exactly.
But if the God in you can recognize the God in everything else, oh, that's it.
Yes.
That's the goal, yeah?
Yes.
Wow.
And as you serve the light, and you are light, you bring light wherever you go. There is no darkness. Darkness does not exist if you are always the light.
But exactly. Darkness, fair.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. There needs to be balance in everything, though. So I definitely acknowledge all parts of the light and dark. So
absolutely. And that's a big kind of key Buddhist belief as well in Native American spirituality is everything has its place, light and dark, and the balance.
Yes.
You can't have light without dark. You can't have dark without light.
Yep.
Right? You can't have happiness without sadness.
Yes.
You can't have pain without pleasure.
Yep.
Like, all of it is this beautiful experience we're getting to have as human beings.
Oh, yes.
And
yeah.
I've always said I want to be a full human being. When I die, I want to have felt the happiest joy on the earth and the most intense sadness.
Ah.
I want all of it.
Yeah, I feel like I live part of that. It's just, you have your tremendous heartbreaks,
ooh.
But then you get to live your greatest loves. And I'm in that space of, living my greatest love. And, I am so blessed. I have my two sons, my family, and my partner, everybody. I mean, I feel like, and I still have my parents. My parents are beautiful people and very loving and supportive. And I'm just, like I said, I don't feel like I'd be any more blessed, but we're just really blessed to have everything and everyone that we have in our life, and being able to serve people and volunteer in this role and now running for U.S. Senate, it is an incredible honor. So
When did you feel the calling that this is what you needed to do? Was it your ancestors seeing something in you? Was it...
It was a few years ago.
Mm.
I actually really went back to 2012, but the calling got stronger and stronger. And, when you try to not necessarily ignore it, but think that, why me in a way, it's almost like, well, this is going to be challenging. It requires this, this, and this. And what if I don't have those things? But it's not that. I think these are barriers we create for ourselves because, you know, we see what others may have and think that we need that, but we actually discount all that we have that they don't have,
right,
and know that that's all you need. And that is everything that is needed because nobody else has that.
Exactly.
So I came to that reality that I have everything that everybody doesn't have, and
all
therefore...
the support, the wisdom, yes, the way you grew up.
Yes.
Yeah, the universe perfectly set up for you to step into this space and step into this light.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And how does it feel to be in the flow of your life?
It's so humbling.
Yeah.
I was in a ceremony and we had our elders come through, and our ancestors will come and speak through an individual.
Mm. Wow.
And one of our ancestors came in this one ceremony, the winter ceremony last year, last December, and it really pierced me, my heart, my whole being, my spirit. And as they're talking to me about my purpose and my path and why I need to keep going, because I was in a state of just kind of being in a fog.
Mm.
And I think I was brought there for a reason, because they wanted me to sort of settle down, to just take time just for myself.
And just think and just be with your presence,
yes,
and your own spirit.
Yes, just to be with myself. And I, you know, and almost in a way, in an isolated mode, but I was never alone. I was always surrounded by people. And they just said to say no. They said to... Because I'm always saying yes, yes, I'll help, yes, I'll do this, yes, I'll do that, and, you know, yes, I'll be there. And I never turn people down when they're seeking my help, because I want to be there and help them.
Service, it's all about service.
Yes, my whole life I've just been raised to serve others since I was a young child. And so when that's what you know and that's what you're raised to do, is to be in service to others, to lead, that is your only way forward, that you know. So that's just what I know. And when they tell me in the ceremony that you need to take this time for yourself and connect, you know, reconnect again your spirit and heal yourself, because you went through this great battle,
right,
and now you're going to heal, because this next battle that you're going through, you know, we need you strong.
Yes.
So that
was
my we're here with you, and we need you to take this time. And that was so humbling, but it, like I said, it pierced my spirit, and I remember just letting it all flow, the energy, the feelings, everything, you know, because you feel that absolute, you know, the unconditional love, but it's a higher love. And I'll tell you that it's so empowering when you have your Sky Council, which is who we refer to, because when you look at who you're accountable to, everyone has spirit guides. My spirit guides are my ancestors here, and they stay with me, and they represent nations of people. So I know who I'm accountable to, which is them, because they sent me here. But I'm also accountable to my Sky Council, and they are the ultimate ancestors that we call to, basically, in a way, to serve. And so they represent this grander element in
it's
the spiritual
like a
realm.
Spirit government, a
like
shadow government.
Kind of like spiritual government in a way. But our Sky Council, as we call them in our culture, is really, you know, our, I would say, form of authority. They are who we answer to. So no matter what you do here, even if you don't see them as in a spiritual sense, you are accountable to them. There are people on the other side who are watching.
I agree.
So nothing, you know, you do here that will not come back on you. In terms of, say you're alone in a space and you think nobody's watching, just remember that no matter what you do, this is why integrity is so important.
Yes,
because
there's integrity.
Personal integrity and integrity to others, because everyone's watching. And I mean that in a spiritual sense.
Absolutely.
So that's why I feel very accountable to my purpose here.
Right.
And that purpose is to protect all life, protect our children.
Wow, I love that. I love that. I couldn't agree more. I've always felt this connection to my ancestors on the other side. And, you know, I lost my grandfather in 2011. And that was kind of the first major loss I've ever had in my life.
Mm.
And, you know, I think when you really take the time to grieve for these people when they pass, their impact and influence in your life becomes even stronger from the other side. It's almost like if now he's on the other side intervening for me in the other world.
Yes.
And as long as I take steps and actions in this physical world that is in alignment with him, then it's just magic here, magic there. It's flowing.
Yes.
Right?
And it's a beautiful relationship
it
to
is,
have.
And it's intimate. It's You feel it. Like just taking a walk and seeing the right type of flower just pop up in front of you, and you can just see your ancestors and the spirits in it.
Oh, yeah. And they have their ways of showing you that they're around.
They communicate.
That they're there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And it breaks my heart that these kinds of types of conversations are so rare, and a lot. I think the majority of people just have never experienced that softness. You know, when you feel your physical self almost kind of melt away for a little moment.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, and you do when you're, you know, you. For those of us who really are big on our spiritual connection, and I think there are more and more people as they're, you know, we look at people across the country and the world, they're getting into their whole spiritual awakening and they're starting to acknowledge that. I say that it doesn't just apply to Indigenous or people who are Buddhist or, you know, religious in some way. I'd say it applies to even those who say that they're, you know, maybe don't believe in God. You know, I meet some people who will say, well, you know, I don't believe in any religion or I don't believe in God, but they are still in their spiritual awakening.
Amen.
So however you want to define God, even if you want to say that you are God or God is within you, both of those are true. And if you don't want to say there is a higher God above, that's fine too, because it's really just your own spiritual way of connecting to all the energy. All the elements.
That's all it is. It's not so much about what you believe and what you think is right or wrong, because we're human beings. We'll never know.
Yes.
We'll never have all the answers to these questions.
No. But yeah, being respectful and connecting with everything, you know, that's really, to me, the best way to be. Mm. It's a good practice. That's why anyone can do it.
Anyone. Rich, poor, black, white, left, right, whatever you identify yourself as, you can connect with yourself and with other people and with all the energy in the universe.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Especially children.
Wow. Yeah. I think children are so special, aren't they?
Yes.
They're just remarkable creatures. And, I don't even know. They're so fresh from the other side.
Yes.
Like there's this energy and this wisdom that vibrates off of them, and they don't even know like how powerful they are. And we live in a world where parents and teachers and authority figures are always trying to cut their spirit down, cut them down to be more like us.
Yeah.
More perfect, more human, more physical, more separate.
Yes.
They cut them from the spirit and from their true self on the other side. And I think separateness, I think that is my biggest grievance with the world today. Yeah. How separate we see ourselves from each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is part of the destruction, you know, not only of the environment and humanity, but ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, we got to get back to that. And I'm hoping, you know, I always feel like you have to walk your talk and lead by example. So I definitely encourage that with my own children. And that's why we can only do our best within our own home. You know, they say that really the true education is what happens at the dinner table.
Yes.
So hopefully, you know, our parents, you know, raise your children and to not only be respectful of you, but themselves, most importantly, because how they see themselves is how they see the world.
Right.
Really, everything is a reflection of how they feel. So when they are loved and respected, you know, that love and respect is going to go out into the world and impact so many other people in great ways. And it does build on their success. And we want them to be successful. We want our children to prosper. We want them to be healthy and safe. Mm-hmm. But all that comes down to, you know, how we as parents really operate or how we treat our children.
Right.
So respect is the, you know, and love, everything. It's, you know, that is the greatest gift that we can give them.
Yeah, man. It's the only thing that's real, love. Yeah. The only thing that's real.
Yes.
So, Paulette, my last question for you is, I hate saying those words because I wish we could stay here and talk for 3 more hours.
Oh, same.
God, your energy is remarkable. But what advice would you give to other people listening who are a little bit sad and they feel overwhelmed and they feel like the world is just so devastating right now? I think a lot of people are feeling like this. How do you hold the hope? What is giving you hope?
What gives me hope is the fact that my children are safe at home and that they love me and that they believe in me and to do my work. That makes me feel good. And knowing that they're going to do some great things, they're going to be even better than me. They're going to be taking my work from here and just going down, you know, miles.
And the work of your ancestors.
And the work of our ancestors, yes. We continue to stand on that legacy and build, you know. And so I'm excited because I get to be part of that. But for others, you know, I hear this from time to time from people who are dealing with mental health or, you know, and unfortunate situations wherever they are. There's so many different issues that people are dealing with. Mm. And I can only offer just one item, which is, you know, no matter what we do, no matter what's going on in this world, just know that you are never alone. Mm. If people can realize that everyone is granted or paired with a guide, that you have a spiritual relative that's with you, maybe more than one, maybe five, maybe 10, maybe thousands, who knows? I mean, everyone's different. But those people who are committed to serve you, to be with you, to help you in this life, they're not leaving your side.
Right.
There is nothing that you can do to
betray them
or force them to abandon you. And a lot of people feel alone, you know, and whether they're even surrounded by people, they will feel alone. They'll feel like they're in their own pattern or circumstance. And I will tell you that right here and now, you are not. You are always surrounded by beings that love you. And I think it's just hard for people because if they don't see it,
right,
they don't think that it's real.
If it's not directly around them, right?
Yeah. But if you acknowledge it, if you even just went outside and took your shoes off, ground yourself with earth, if you go and if you feel sad, one of my elders would say, go in the middle of the forest and hug a tree.
Ooh.
And let that tree take your energy and your sadness. Trees have the power to do that. They will take your sadness.
They are the oldest, wisest things out there.
Yes.
Yes.
And because they're so capable of doing that, that is what heals us. So we have to find our relationship again with nature. Go out there and explore, you know, and humble yourself and give an offering if you can. You know, for us, it's tobacco, or we will say a prayer. But there's a way that you can do that. And for anybody, because anyone can do this, and you don't have to be indigenous, you don't have to be religious.
Right.
But I would say that if you come into a place where you're frustrated, you know, just go outside and be with water. Even water is a healing property.
Oh, yeah.
That will give you a, you know, very, very powerful energy exchange. Mm. So just be mindful that all the things that you need in your life are with you, and respect yourself. Take care of yourself in the best ways you can. Try to get a massage or go visit a neighbor or relative, keeping, you know, social distance in mind, but take the time to check on your family even.
Yeah.
Even that part feels good, just showing the care that you have to others, that people that are on your mind. If you have a dream and maybe someone that you haven't seen in a long time came to you in a dream.
Connect.
That is your subconscious talking to you. So call them. Check on them.
Yeah.
You know, all that is healing and is helpful. So that to me is how we get through this. And I would say even beyond COVID and the pandemic, that if people can just take that time for themselves to not only connect to everything around them, but the people, you know, we really have to come to this place of getting to forgive and heal, not only for ourselves, but for the world, because we do have to heal humanity and we have to bring nature with us. And
absolutely,
we have to bring a balance to all the shifts that are happening.
Yeah, if we're going to heal the world, we have to heal ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. This was an honor, a total privilege.
Thank you.
So just good luck with everything coming for you. And I just, you know, I feel like I have to say this, but what you're doing is real important for my generation because there are a lot of young people like me out there who've never seen anybody like you do what you're doing. And it's really breaking the whole paradigm of what we think is possible.
Thank you. Wow.
I'm excited.
Wow. Yeah. Well, God bless you, Christoph, and thank you so much. And you are a beautiful spirit, so I'm really honored to get to know you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. This is Christoph Kassoon, and you've been listening to Navigating Diversity. Paulette Jordan, Idaho Democratic nominee running in the United States Senate election on November 3rd, 2020, has been helping us navigate some of the big questions that help give all of this and all of our lives meaning. Join us next week at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday as we continue to explore how human beings differ, yet can find ways to relate to one another in an increasingly xenophobic socio-political climate. For more information on all episodes, visit kisu.org/programs/navigatingdiversity.